In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the features of every vigil service are hymns that are called hymns of ascents. And these are based on 15 psalms in the Psalter that are called songs of ascent. And in the vigil service, what the hymns of ascent are designed to do is to raise up our minds in anticipation of the gospel reading that we hear not long after we sing those songs. But what the psalms of ascent in the Psalter were used for is when people would travel to Jerusalem for the feast, they would sing these songs as they would go on their way. And also, the fathers interpret these as having a connection with the return of the exiles from Babylon, and some of the psalms certainly have an indication that might have been when they were written, and it's not unlike that people would have felt like they were pilgrims going to Jerusalem when they were leaving Babylon or one of the other places where they had been exiled to, and they were returning to the Holy Land. When people would travel to Jerusalem, they would travel in very large groups. You might have the better part of a village that would be in a company. And we read about an example of this in Luke chapter 2, where the Lord and his family were traveling with all of their relatives to Jerusalem. And it was such a big group that his family didn't realize that he wasn't with them until they were quite a bit away from Jerusalem. But these journeys would have taken days. But as they were traveling to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. And the reason why they're called psalms of ascents is because you literally are ascending when you go to Jerusalem. If you've ever been there, you know if you take the train from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, it's a whole lot like when you're flying in a jet and you take off and then you're going up to a certain high altitude because your ears pop. If you have water bottles, you can see the air pressure change in the bottles. And so that's what these people were experiencing, only it took them a lot longer to get to that height of the city of Jerusalem. But what the fathers say about these psalms is that they're about, in addition to all those things, they're about the ascent of our spiritual life from the world as we go to God. And Psalm 119 or 120 in the Protestant Bibles is the first of these psalms of ascent, and it begins in that context of people who are in the world and are beginning to leave it. It begins, "Unto the Lord in mine affliction have I cried, and he heard me." This is the beginning of repentance and the foundation of our spiritual life, and that's that we realize that we are, apart from God, lost, and that only he can help us. And if we're to receive God's help, we have to turn from the life of the world, the life of sin, and turn to God. The Hebrew word for repentance literally means to turn around, so it's a change of direction. And the Greek word for repentance literally means to change the mind, and real repentance involves both of those things. It's a change of behavior, and it's a change of our attitude towards sin. O Lord, deliver my soul from unrighteous lips and from a crafty tongue. In this psalm, the pilgrim is far away from his home and probably in exile. And he's among people who hate God, and these people have unrighteous lips and crafty tongues. St. Paul tells us that all who would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so if you're trying to live a Christian life in this world, you're going to suffer some level of persecution. But when we suffer persecution, the Lord tells us that we're blessed. We heard about that in the Beatitudes that we sang today and on most liturgies. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And one implication of that beatitude is that if you're not persecuted for righteousness' sake, the kingdom of heaven is not yours. So for those of us that want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, suffering persecution is a sign to us of this blessedness. So it's something that we shouldn't weep over. It's something that we should rejoice over. As the Lord tells us further on, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And why did the people of the Old Testament persecute the prophets? It's because they spoke the truth, and people who are living a life of lies don't want to hear the truth. What shall be given unto thee, and what shall be added unto thee for thy crafty tongue? The arrows of the mighty one sharpened with coals of the desert. So he's now addressing these evil people that are around him. He's saying, what are you going to get for what you're doing? And he answers the question, the arrows of the mighty one sharpened with the coals of the desert. And this has a double meaning. On the one hand, it's talking about the punishments of the wicked. The sharp arrows reference the punishments themselves, and the burning coals represent the fire of hell. But this also points to how we overcome our spiritual enemies. We overcome them with the sharp arrows, which are the words of the Holy Scriptures, and by the burning coals of prayer kindled by the fire of love. We have to know the Scriptures. We have to live the Scriptures. We have to have the Scripture in our heart to where we constantly are referring to these things and appealing to these things and being guided by them as we face all the trials and tribulations of this world. We also have to be a people of prayer that are kindled, prayer that's kindled by the fire of love. Woe is me, for my sojourning is prolonged. I have tented with the tentings of Kedar. My soul hath long been a sojourner. What is a sojourner? A sojourner is somebody who is going from one place to another. So when you're a sojourner in a particular place, that means you're passing through. You're a pilgrim or a stranger. When it talks about the people of Kedar, the people of Kedar were a very fierce Bedouin people, and this references a people who, the people of this world that are far away from God. And when we are living among those people, as we do, we are in the world. We're not supposed to be of the world, but we are in the world. We have the sense of separation from our spiritual home, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. But in terms of what it means to be a sojourner or a pilgrim, St. Peter tells us in his first epistle, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The name Kedar in Hebrew literally comes from the word darkness, and so this represents the spiritual darkness that we encounter in this world and the darkness of the souls of those who don't know God. And we, unfortunately, have to live among this, in the spiritual darkness, but we can't be of it. We have to leave this world to dwell in the heavenly Jerusalem. And so even though we are in the world, being not of the world means that we are turning away from that. We are not joining in the things that the people who are darkened by their own lust are engaged in. In Revelation, we're told, and this is talking about the New Jerusalem, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is the light that we are looking for, that is the hope that we have while we're in this darkness. With them that hate peace, I was peaceable. When I spake unto them, they warred against me without a cause. That's the end of this psalm, and it's not ending on a high note. It's talking about the struggle that we continue to face, but what you have to understand is each one of these psalms of ascent are like stairs that lead us higher and higher. So this is the very first step. And when it talks about with them that hated peace, I was peaceable, the Scriptures tell us that we're supposed to be at peace with all men as much as it's within our power. But we also have to understand that those that hate God are going to hate us. The Lord said to his disciples in the Gospel of John, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. in the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So while we're living in this world, we're going to have tribulation. But we have to keep reminding ourselves that Christ has overcome the world, and that's the hope that we have. This psalm is talking about the beginning of our spiritual journey, not the end. We have to realize that we're far from home, and that we are going to have to war against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that in this war, there is no discharge prior to total victory. We have a long and a difficult way ahead of us, but we have a glorious prize that awaits us in the heavenly Jerusalem. So we need to begin our spiritual journey as the psalm begins. Let us cry unto the Lord in our affliction, knowing that he hears us and will be with us on the journey every step of the way. Amen.